Now, this time last week, we were in the thick of counting for both local and European elections. And counting of ballots for the European Parliament only finished up in the early hours of Friday in the Midlands Northwest constituency. The outcome shows a changing landscape politically across the European Union, with voters seemingly pushing back against the green agenda, while the right has seen significant gains. We can look at the fallout of all this now with Mairead McGuinness, European Commissioner for Financial Services, Financial Stability and Capital Markets Union. Mairead McGuinness, good afternoon and thank you very much for joining us in
the
studio.
Happy to be here, thank you.
Your party, Fine Gael, went from 5 out of what was 13 MEP seats in 2019 to 4 of 14 this time around. Ireland, of course, got one extra MEP. But we lost both of our Green MEPs and there were gains for Fianna Fáil and Sinn Féin. Two takeaways from this election, as highlighted by Shane Coleman in his analysis in today's Business Post. The Greens are in bother and immigration as an issue seems to be here to stay. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think those are two topics which were debated during the election campaign. I think a lot of focus on the swing to the right. Naturally, that is where people are reporting. But the leaders will meet tomorrow informally. So the heads of state and government of all the 27 countries. And already work has been underway in the days before the European Parliament elections and last week to make sure that the strong centre can come forward, for example, initially and importantly, with a name for President of the European Commission. Now, the rules are that those who canvass and campaign, so the EPP candidate was the current President, Ursula von der Leyen. The EPP are up 14 seats to 190, so that is a significant progress, even though, as you say, Fine Gael is down one seat, but the party is strong overall. So the EPP will have the nominating of the President of the Commission. But of course, that has to be agreed by the leaders. And all the indications are, even as I speak, that leaders are working hard to ensure stability and no uncertainty. So the timelines are important. Tomorrow's meeting is vital to sort of set out the agenda. But the actual vote will take place later. So July the 4th is when the council will finally make a formal decision on the name of the candidate and the Parliament votes on July the 18th. What's interesting in all of this is what President von der Leyen has said. She will work with pro-European parties, pro-rule of law parties and those that are pro-supporting Ukraine, because there's a lot of debate about where will she get the votes. Also, because I looked at these things and I voted for her in 2019, the margin she had in 2019 was 9 votes. Yet on paper going into that, she should have been at least plus 60. So, of course, it's a private vote. It's a secret. So what I think will be happening now within the groups, remember the centre groups, the EPP, the Socialists, because the Socialists really held on. They're down 3, but they by and large held on. Renew Group lost 20. So that is significant and they're at 80. But there is a strong will amongst those to hold together and form, I suppose, a coalition that can make progress on legislation and other issues. The Greens have also indicated that they want to be part of that. And yes, they lost seats 20 overall. Mm-hmm. And just on Kieran Cuff and Grace O'Sullivan, I worked very well with these colleagues and I want to wish them well because it's not an easy time for them. And they were important because I don't think anyone in Ireland is saying there's no such thing as climate change and we haven't a problem. I think where the debate and the pendulum is swung is from, you know, the Green Deal was a very big issue and a lot of the legislation is in place. But I think the closer you come to implementing it and when we had cost of living crisis, people are just a little bit nervous of how are we going to fund it, which is why my work in Capital Markets Union and Banking Union is really key to this. So this week, numbers will count, but policy will also matter. It's more than just a numbers game.
You referenced that meeting, informal meeting of EU leaders tomorrow to look at the top jobs. You referenced Ursula von der Leyen. She is emerging as the consensus. She's the most likely candidate. But the centre has held in this election, but the right, notably far right groups, they have gained ground. They're going to have a bigger voice in the next parliament. Then you have the Socialists on the left saying if Ursula von der Leyen looks for support from the right, that they won't support her. So she needs this magic number of 361 out of the 720. So where is she going to get the support? What's her middle ground in securing that number?
Well, I mentioned, first of all, that the Greens are also willing to be part of a coalition. Now, they won't agree on everything during a five-year mandate, but I think what those parties, the EPP, which is in the lead, the Socialists, the Renew Group and the Greens, will want stability and progress. And the last thing Europe needs now, not just because of the war in Ukraine and many big global challenges, but also trying to bed down issues on competitiveness and deepening the single market, we don't need a vacuum. We really do need that the leaders, and I believe they will, stick to these timelines. The European Parliament, as I can read it, wants to be able to vote on July the 18th. That's important. If it doesn't happen in July, you have August, where there's nothing happening. Europe goes on holidays, but it would be bad to go on holidays without, in my view, President von der Leyen in situ. Because when she's in situ, then member states can then begin to nominate their person for the commission. Already some are putting forward, like my colleague, Latvian colleague, Valdis Dombrovskis, is going to be the commissioner, but other countries will be doing the same. That allows us to get down to business immediately by the 1st of November. So we're in situ, mm-hmm. this commission, until the end of October. If there's any slippage, you could see this rolling into December. That's not good for Europe that needs to bed down and get on with it.
Well, a growingly or increasingly divided Europe, as we saw towards the back end of the last Parliament and also in the elections. And if you look at the Irish MEPs, only four of the 14 have said they're going to support her, the Fine Gael MEPs, Barry Andrews, Billy Kelleher, Eoghan Riordan, they've been clear they won't. What do you make of Ursula von der Leyen's apparent lack of support among the Irish MEPs?
Well, I think the Gaza issue is clearly the issue where there was great concern. And indeed, I've always expressed the views of the Irish people in speaking to my colleagues in the Commission, no later than on Wednesday within our college meeting, because I'm hugely concerned from a humanitarian point of view what's happening. But I think that is one issue that certainly perhaps some colleagues decided that they would resile from supporting her. But there are questions then to answer. Ursula von der Leyen has done incredible work within the Commission and in leadership on many topics. She, in relation to Gaza, is extremely strong on humanitarian aid and is working with others to try and secure a ceasefire and permanent peace, a two-state solution. I do not doubt her credentials on this topic at all. You're right to say that the only votes she's guaranteed from Ireland are four. As to the issue of what the Renew Group will do, because I'm sure the Irish Fianna Fáil colleagues have said they won't vote for her, then that's an issue for the Renew Group, because they will commit, I hope, to support her when there is an agreement. Remember, there's a lot of discussions to be had around policy and options. So I think she is guaranteed the four Fine Gael votes, but not the others. And I think, as I said, there are issues for them to deal with. But I do, you know, caution, when it's a secret ballot, you need to go into it with a decent margin, because there will be slippage. But then the big question for those who have concerns about Ursula von der Leyen, to say, well, if not Ursula von der Leyen, who? I mean, this is a president of the Commission who people know, and indeed in Ireland's case, were extremely supportive of her up to the horrors of what is unfolding in Gaza. And I can understand why Irish people are deeply concerned about that. But she should also be judged by her record in the round. She's the first woman to have the presidency of the Commission, and Europe is a long, long time around. And she did what many thought was impossible. She encouraged member states to nominate a woman and a man, and mm-hmm. she has a gender-balanced commission. But she's driven a lot of things. She has seen where it was a need, for example, with agriculture, to pivot towards a more pragmatic view. She is 100% behind my work on developing capital markets union. This is about freeing up savings to invest mm-hmm. in our more green and sustainable future.
Okay, and moving on then to the formation of the new executive, the roles of commissioners, EU commissioners. You're the sole Irish EU commissioner. Ireland looks set for one commissioner for portfolio in the new executive. It's been agreed within government. Taoiseach Micheál Martin will choose Ireland's candidate. So more than likely, a Fianna Fáil name. Names mentioned include Michael McGrath, Finance Minister, Agricultural Minister, Charlie McConlogue. So it seems a done deal. We're going to have a Fianna Fáil commissioner, or do you think that's the case?
Well, you've explained exactly what the ground rules are here. So I'm in this role until the end of October. Strangely enough, I was nominated, of course, by the government, but it was Micheál Martin who put my name forward, and I'm very grateful for that. And in my view, the portfolio I have reflected the experience, which is now 20 years at the EU level. But it is for the government, and in this case, Micheál Martin, the Taoiseach, will make his nomination. I've heard all the speculation and all of the names, and none of us know, perhaps the Taoiseach does. What's important is, because there's one commissioner per member state, is that Ireland, as a country that is part of Europe for 50 years, is strong around the table.
And are you keen to be that one Irish commissioner in the executive?
I've said it very clearly that I'm willing to serve, but I have neither any expectation of it or entitlement to it, and I will fully respect the government's decision.
Have you been lobbying to be that commissioner? Have you had any talks within government here, or have you chatted with the Taoiseach Simon Harris about this?
Simon Harris and I have chatted because he was, we were talking about that it is a Fianna Fáil nominee. You know, the best way to lobby is to do your job well. And I believe that in my role as Financial Services Commissioner, I have done my job well. I've also been very influential when it comes to agriculture, which is important for Ireland because I am trained as an agricultural economist. But I have the sentiment.
It sounds like you're making
farming.
A pitch because there's a good chance we might get the agriculture portfolio.
Look, I mean, frankly, I have a very good working relationship with the leaders of all the parties. Of course, Simon Harris, definitely Micheál Martin because he was Taoiseach for a term, and Eamon Ryan. And I think within that coalition where there is also concern about agriculture and the environment, what we need are pragmatic ways to allow our farming and food industry to become more sustainable. Whoever gets this job will have a pivotal role, not just because there will be another reform of agriculture policy, but there will be a big discussion about the budget. Mm-hmm. And there is now a real concern about strategic autonomy, Europe's strength in the world and how we actually deepen it, because we have huge vulnerabilities. We need to build resilience.
Of course we do, which we've touched on some of those. Indications from the government that only one name will be proposed for commissioner. But of course, we saw in 2019 Ursula von der Leyen that she insisted on two nominees, one male and one female.
Actually, what she said was one woman and one man, just because I used to be a reporter, just to quote her accurately. Look, when the president did that, it was, not a surprise. Jean-Claude Juncker had done that previously.
Could you see something like that happening this time around?
As I say,
and if so, would you like to be that woman candidate?
Of course I would. I've already indicated a willingness. But again, I'm also around long enough in politics to know how these things work out. What I really would say, though, apart from my view or my future and my interest, is one, Europe is at a very, very, difficult juncture. The world is not all our friend, so we have real problems about strengthening our own resilience, looking at vulnerabilities in supply chains, looking at skills shortages, which are enormous, big drama and difficulties around migration. Huge topics to be dealt with. What we need to make sure is that whoever is around the table, in fact, all of the 27, need to get down to work, because the next 5 years will be tougher, even though the last five have been difficult. And I think we need strong voices.
And finally,
we should have a balanced commission. I mean, as a woman, I think I've a right and entitlement to say
certainly
that.
Making your pitch. And finally, and very briefly, if you don't end up having a new term as commissioner, what does the future hold for you? Would you potentially make a run at the Oars for president next year?
Well, if I can use your programme to say, I was asked this morning by friends where I live in Lobanstown, are you retiring? No, I'm not retiring. There's a little bit of life left in me. And if I do not get, and as I say, I don't have any expectation that I will get the nomination to be Ireland's next commissioner. I would be honoured if I did. I then have to look at what to do. But I think my experience of Europe should help me in whatever role that might be.
OK. Mairead McGuinness, European Commissioner for Financial Services, Financial Stability and Capital Markets Union. Thank you very much for joining us on the programme.
Thank you.